we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Prince Nesta kicks off Monday's show with a look at the weekend European club football highlights. Prince, as the 2015 African Footballer of the Year from Gabon, scored a couple of goals for Arsenal, but it was not enough to lift the Gunners to victory. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Freddie Ljungberg's tenure as interim Arsenal manager got off to a rocky start as a double from Gabon talisman Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang salvaged a 2-2 draw at Norwich City. The result leaves Arsenal 8th in the Premier League, 7 behind London neighbours Chelsea, who suffered a shock 1-0 defeat to struggling West Ham United at Stamford Bridge. Liverpool went further and clear of Manchester City at the top of the Premier League by beating Brighton 2-1 at Anfield, thanks to two goals that were created by Trent Alexander-Arnold and finished by Virgil van Dijk. French footballer of Malian descent Moussa Sissoko and Dele Alli recorded their names on the score sheet as Tottenham maintained their 100% start under Jose Mourinho with a 3-2 home win over Bournemouth. Defending champions Manchester City were forced to a 2-2 draw by Newcastle United. Leicester City also moved back into second with a dramatic 2-1 win over Everton.
Prince, Nigerian striker Kelechi Iheanacho came on as a second-half substitute for Leicester in their dramatic win, and Iheanacho definitely proved to be a spark. He crossed for Jamie Vardy, who tapped in his 13th goal of the season. And then in stoppage time, Prince, Iheanacho curled in the winning goal. Let's listen in now to Kelechi Iheanacho's post-match comments.
So I've been working hard in training every day to make sure I keep up to the standard. So I'm happy today and getting a goal and assisting Jamie. So today was very good and it was fantastic with the whole team. So we enjoyed.
Prince, I think you could say another Nigerian striker, Victor Osimhen, also enjoyed his match for Lille in the French League.
Yes, indeed, Sonny. Lille bounced back from a 2-0 home defeat by Ajax Amsterdam in the Champions League with a 1-0 win over Dijon, courtesy of a Victor Osimhen penalty deep into first-half stoppage time to lift the Northerners up to 7th on 22 points. In other matches, Serbian winger Nemanja Radonjic scored a fine last-minute winner as second-place Marseille beat Brest 2-1 to move 5 points behind French league leader Paris Saint-Germain. It was Marseille's fourth straight league win under Portuguese coach André Villas-Boas, the former Tottenham and Chelsea coach who replaced Rudy Garcia during the off-season. Olympique Lyon secured a 2-1 win over Racing Strasbourg, while Angers are third on 24 points after wasting a one-goal lead in a 3-1 loss at Nice. The Ligue 1 match between leaders Paris Saint-Germain and Monaco was postponed to a later date due to torrential rain.
Prince, let's go to Spain now. I see where five-time Ballon d'Or winner Lionel Messi broke Atletico's hearts.
It was pure magic, Sonny. Lionel Messi struck 4 minutes from time to earn Barcelona vital 3 points against Atletico Madrid as they moved back to the top of La Liga with a 1-0 win. Captain Sergio Ramos and Dani Carvajal were on target as second-place Real Madrid earned a spirited 2-1 victory over Alaves. Sevilla also stayed third after beating last-place Leganés 1-0, while Real Sociedad remained in fourth place after routing Eibar 4-1. And in Italy, Inter Milan moved above Juventus to the top of the Serie A table with a 2-1 win at home to Spal, thanks to a Lautaro Martinez double. Another five-time Ballon d'Or winner, Cristiano Ronaldo, also scored a goal for Juventus for the first time since October to earn the old lady a 2-2 draw against Sassuolo in Turin.
From Turin, Prince, Let's go northwest to Paris, where the 2019 Ballon d'Or ceremony will be held this Monday evening. How about a preview for us?
The biggest names in world football will descend on Paris today for the 2019 Ballon d'Or ceremony. Barcelona forward Lionel Messi actually remains favorite to win the award for a record sixth time. However, the 32-year-old who top-scored in La Liga last season with 36 goals as Barcelona won the title faces stiff competition from Liverpool's Virgil van Dijk, who was immense in leading the Reds to last season's Champions League and could also become the first defender to win the award since Fabio Cannavaro in 2006. The 30-man shortlist also includes Cristiano Ronaldo, Senegalese speedster Sadio Mane, Egyptian playmaker Mo Salah, and Gabon talisman Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Sonny, surely nobody could suggest that 34-year-old USA Women's World Cup superstar Megan Rapinoe would not be a deserving winner of the Women's Ballon d'Or Award, but she faces stiff competition from other stars, including England's Lucy Bronze, Netherlands striker Vivian Miedema, Australia's Sam Kerr, and the USA try of Alex Morgan, Ross Lavelle, and Tobin Heath. We wish the contenders all the best and stay tuned for the Ballon d'Or results right here on the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Prince Nestor on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sunny.
Thanks, Prince. Samson Omale joins us now with a package of African cycling, African athletics, and African club football news. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sunny. We begin with results from the weekend's matches in the Elite CAF Champions League Match Day 1 fixtures. Reigning African club champions Esperance de Tunis opened their group stage campaign with an emphatic 2-0 away win to Raja Casablanca in Morocco in Group D. GS Kabylie defeated AS Vita 1-0. In Group A, Zamalek got off to a horrific start with a 3-0 defeat at the hands of host TP Mazembe. The second Group A match came from Estadio 11 de Novembro, where Angola's Primeiro de Agosto played to a 1-1 draw with Zambia's Zesco United. Group C's opening game was staged in Blinda, Algeria, where USM Alger were held 1-1 by Moroccan heavyweights Wydad Casablanca. Another major result on Saturday night came from Swane in South Africa, where Mamelodi Sundowns took early control of Group C with a 3-0 win over Angola's Petro de Luanda. The CAF Champions League will continue next weekend with group stage match day 2 fixtures on the 6th to the 7th of December. Away from football news now, the National Olympic Committee of Kenya General Assembly has approved a budget of $5.8 million for the 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games. The National Olympic Committee of Kenya President Paul Tergat disclosed that from the budget, $2.4 million will go towards preparations and qualification for the Summer Games due from July the 24th to August the 9th in the Japanese capital.
Our subject is our sportsmen, should be the rallying point. With any discussion that we should be talking about these sportsmen that we are managing.
In cycling news, South Africa's Daryl Empey is among the 15 nominees for this year's Africa Cyclist Trophy. The trophy is given to the rider who, through their results, has contributed the most and raised awareness of cycling in Africa. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
In more African football news, the German Gernot Rohr was named head coach of Nigeria's national team in August 2016. But there are now questions whether his contract, which expires next year, will be renewed. The Nigeria Football Federation has been silent on his contract. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted a Johannesburg-based football analyst, Emeka Enyadike.
I think it should be renewed because the difficulty usually with Nigeria is not being able to give coaches enough time to work with the team. If they were going to not renew his contract, they probably should have done that at the time of after the World Cup in Russia. But since he has continued on to the AFCON, he got to semifinals, which is not a bad performance. In my personal opinion, I think he could have done better. But he has carried on with the team, you know, trying to tweak the team. He just needs a lot more, you know, how would I put it, closer cooperation with the FA, where they can cut out all of these negatives about, you know, not paying him and all that. Because this is something that happens with Nigeria all the time.
Some analysts and indeed some critics say his contract should not be renewed. One reason being that he has not been using local players in the team. What's your take on this?
I totally disagree with them. I think that this whole nonsense about saying he needs to pick players from home, when a coach is appointed, let him choose the players that he thinks will deliver for him. And so far, he's done well. Qualified us for the World Cup, qualified us for AFCON, you know, narrowly missed out on getting to the second round, got to semifinals. I think that the team has got some shape. He needs to pick the best players. And, you know, I've seen him now go to a couple of games. If he finds a good player, I think that, you know, for instance, would have good goalkeepers. Maybe if he watches more local games, he might be able to see one or two keepers that might impress him. But overall, I think that, you know, it is wrong for fans or even people like us who are analysts to say, you know, coach should pick this player, not that player. What is important is that he has a mandate that allows him to be judged based on his performance. So let him have the free hand to choose the players he wants. The best that analysts and players who are doing well, these are the players who are doing well, that he has to see how they fit into his team. That I think is what is wrong with Nigeria.
If the contract is renewed, what do you think would be the future of the Super Eagles of Nigeria? And if it's not renewed, what do you also think will be the future of the national team?
Let me start from the second part. I think if his contract is not renewed, I think it will be a step back for Nigeria because we definitely do not have time. Next year is 2020. There's AFCON in 2021 and there's World Cup in 2022. We need to be able to harness this team and build on from where we are onto the next World Cup. We need to even think beyond the next World Cup. We need to think about 2026. So if we have a plan, we should give him the chance until 2022 which, you know, if he doesn't meet them, then maybe they can consider bringing in another coach. But I think that the contract will be renewed. But where they decide, because the FA sometimes can do bizarre things, they can, if they decide not to renew contract, I think we will believe that.
That's Emeka Enyadike, a Johannesburg-based football analyst. And Emeka spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Hi, my name is Emeka Enyadike. From the City of Gold, Johannesburg, I want to say a big shout-out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Earlier in the show, Prince Nesta mentioned Women's World Cup winner Megan Rapinoe as a top contender for the Women's Ballon d'Or Award in Paris this evening. In September, the 34-year-old Rapinoe was named the best FIFA women's player for 2019 in Milan, Italy. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2019, let's listen in again to Rapinoe's reaction.
Yes, very happy, very happy. A little bit surreal. This year has been very crazy. Last 3 months have been crazy. I've never thought that I would win one of these, so very happy. It's extremely exciting.
Megan Rapinoe is the fourth American woman to win the FIFA award, following Mia Hamm in 2001 and 2002, Abby Wambach in 2012, and Carly Lloyd in 2015 and 2016. Rapinoe's USA teammate Alex Morgan finished second in the voting, and English defender Lucy Bronze was third. Megan Rapinoe says she also had a chance to talk briefly with men's winner Lionel Messi in Milan.
Yes, I speak just about as much Spanish as he does English, so it was a very short conversation. His kids are really cute, and congratulations on the award.
After winning FIFA's Female Player of the Year award, Megan Rapinoe said she hopes to play for the United States at next year's Olympics in Tokyo.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of change. I think this year will be sort of similar. It's a short turnaround to the Olympics. Obviously, I have a new coach and a shorter roster, but I think after that, it'll be a big change. I'm getting a little bit older, so we'll see if the coach wants to keep me around. And I'm just enjoying it as it's coming now, though, and looking forward to the Olympics next summer.
Megan Rapinoe also commented on the popularity of women's soccer after she helped lift the trophy in France at the Women's World Cup.
I mean, I think people are actually watching it and not just judging it without watching it. Everyone came to the games and saw how incredible the performance on the field was, the atmosphere in the stands. There's no reason that the experience for the fan has to be any different at a men's game than a women's game. The games are a little bit different, but that's normal. But I think it's just an incredible experience. Fans actually get in the stadiums, watch us play. We're pretty entertaining. Like, we're pretty fun to watch. So I feel like people finally came out in the numbers that we want them to.
That's Megan Rapinoe, the winner of FIFA's Best Women's Player Award for 2019. I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In more football news, the draw was held over the weekend for Euro 2020, the European Championship. Joining us with details is VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. On Saturday, Europe's top international football managers were in Budapest, where they learned the fate of the 24 teams in the competition. And the clear pick of the six first-round pools was Group F, where defending champions Portugal and the last two world champions, France and Germany, were thrown together in what German coach Joachim Löw called the group of death.
The group is very difficult. Of course, France, Portugal, Germany. Interesting, and I'm looking forward for June to start this championship. Yeah, this is also good for the fans and for the people. And they want to have, like, Germany against Portugal or France against Germany.
Meanwhile, England were drawn against Croatia in a deja vu of last year's World Cup semifinal. And England manager Gareth Southgate said his team must start strong.
We've got to play well, and it doesn't matter who's at home if you don't play well. Of course, it's a brilliant experience for us to have a tournament and a game against a nation like Croatia as the first match. It's fantastic for all of our fans. The first objective is to qualify from the group, and that's a three-game strategy, not just one.
Belgium's upcoming opponents will be Denmark, Russia, and Finland, who are set to make their first appearance in a European Championship or World Cup. And Belgium manager Roberto Martinez says he's looking forward to playing Finland in their tournament debut.
Finland will bring the emotion and the excitement of participating in a major tournament for the first time in the history, and that's something that it brings an extra spice into the group. In terms of logistics, it's probably the hardest that we could have had, playing Russia in St. Petersburg in the first game and then Denmark in the second in Copenhagen and then going back to St. Petersburg. Probably now we need to adjust our preparation and make sure that the logistics are just right.
Belgium was hoping to face Wales, but Wales has drawn with Turkey, Switzerland, and Italy. And Wales manager Ryan Giggs says Italy's winning streak in the qualifiers will make them a tough opponent.
Yeah, it won't be easy. Italy, winning 10 games in the group, really coming back with a very good manager, talented players, and yeah, ourselves, Switzerland and Turkey, I think will be fighting for second place.
UEFA has faced some criticism over the format of the draw for what is being called the most lopsided groupings in recent memory. But UEFA Deputy General Secretary Giorgio Marchetti defended the format, saying nothing is ever guaranteed.
We don't have any particular regrets because it was clear from the beginning. And sometimes in life, you know, you have to weigh pros and cons, advantages and disadvantages. So when it was decided to have a Euro like this, it was clear that it would have some impact on some sporting rules. By the same time, UEFA thought that the prevailing reason to do it was to try to have a special celebration for what is essentially a great European and now, say, global event. So going like this, we had to accept this type of limitations. And by the way, right at the beginning, no hosts were guaranteed to have a place at the Euro, and some of them have and or may miss out.
Marchetti went on to express his confidence that there would be no incidents of racism during next year's tournament, and all those in attendance would be kept safe. The 24-team tournament will be played in 12 host countries for the first time in the event's history. Also for the first time, the video assistant referee will be used at the UEFA European Championship. All host nations will play their group games at home, with London hosting the semifinal and final matches of the competition. UEFA's aim was for a pan-European tournament in celebration of its 60th anniversary. Well, it won't be long before UEFA Euro 2020 kicks off on June 12th. And that is all from me. Back over to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to African athletics, it's been an outstanding year for Ugandan runner Joshua Cheptegei. And he capped it on Sunday by setting a new world record on the roads for 10 kilometers in Valencia, Spain. Joshua clocked 26 minutes and 38 seconds in the road race, taking 6 seconds off the previous record set by Kenya's Leonard Komen in 2010. Cheptegei's run in Spain completed a sensational hat trick of victories in 2019. Joshua was crowned world cross-country champion in Denmark, and he also won a world title on the track for 10,000 meters in Qatar. Speaking after his record run in Spain, Cheptegei said, and I quote, "What a year it has been. I can't believe it. I knew that Valencia was going to be a really fast course, one of the fastest in the world. So to get to achieve what we came here for is something really special." Valencia also staged an international marathon on Sunday, and it proved to be something really special for Ethiopian athletes Kinde Aliyu and Rosa Deraje, who won the men's and women's titles. Kinde was very successful in his debut over the classic 42-kilometer distance, clocking a very impressive 2 hours, 3 minutes, and 53 seconds. And Rosa won the women's race in 2 hours, 18 minutes, and 30 seconds. Speaking after his triumph, the 26-year-old Kinde said his training sessions had gone very well, and he was very confident about his chances in Valencia. And just to show you how fast the Valencia course was, or is, the top 4 runners all had times under 2 hours and 5 minutes. And that wraps up the December 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington,
And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butley, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
This is Science in a Minute.
Astronomers at the Chinese Academy of Sciences are reporting that they have discovered a giant stellar black hole in our Milky Way galaxy. The discovery came as a big surprise to the Chinese astronomers. Lead astronomer Liu Jifeng says that according to most current models of stellar evolution, black holes of such mass should not even exist in our galaxy. The huge stellar black hole has been named LB1. It has a mass 70 times greater than the Sun and is located 15,000 light years from Earth. Scientists currently list four types of black holes: stellar, intermediate, supermassive, and miniature. Stellar black holes are formed by the gravitational collapse of a star. And until this discovery, stellar black holes had a mass of no more than 20 times that of the Sun. The discovery was reported in the journal Nature. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.